Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Flashed by Zoe Castile, narrated by Teddy Hamilton and Carmen Vine. Pat, December. 35 was my lucky number. I was 35 when I got my big break. A year before that, I modeled on the cover of a book for a friend. That book went on to sell 35,000 copies the first month it was out. My face was plastered all over airports, checkout counters, bookstores. Wherever books were sold, my mostly naked body was there. Even a 350-foot billboard lighting up Times Square across three sides of a building. I got picked up by the top agency covering LA, New York, and London. Signed my name away on a $3.5 million contract to star in the biggest summer blockbuster since Avatar. Matchmaking agencies were off the hook, trying to get me to be photographed with or date starlets that my teenage self would never even have dreamed of. Even one duchess, looking to get on the front pages of whatever gossip magazine would catch us in dimly lit Parisian bars. How many of them? That's right, 35 women. I had the life I'd hoped for, dreamed of, prayed for between shitty jobs and endless nights. I had the life I'd thought I'd earned. No, the life I deserved. I'd yet to learn that no one deserves anything. It took 35 seconds to change my life, too. To get in that car with my brother and our dates for the premiere of my breakout movie. Sure, it was 10 seconds to win the drag race, speeding at over 90 miles per hour across a quarter mile of empty, glittering LA streets, with fans waiting at the finish line. I should have done a lot of things that night. Hell, before that night, while I'm at it. 35 bottles of champagne at the pre and after parties for just my friends, probably more. But all I can think about is the moments after the accident. The guys on the losing side trying to take my brother out of the passenger seat to pick a fight. My fists flying, knuckles on skin, crunching on bone. Blood down my nose and face. Then it was over. The fight was squashed for some reason I can't remember. We were okay for 35 seconds after that. I'm sure of it, even if it's impossible. Get in the car, Jack! I shouted at him. I should have said more. I should have. 10 seconds to rev the engine and get away from the nut job with a gun. 5 seconds to get to the next intersection, screaming, laughing, slapping the dashboard at how fucking lucky we were. How alive. 20 seconds that the truck driver fell asleep at the wheel and T-boned my car, and the world spun like a whirling firework on the 4th of July. All brilliant sparks and red and blue lights on the spray of shattered glass. Jack, I shouted, only a single time, before my luck ran out.
1. Go your own way. Lena. June. My red 2005 Honda Civic wheezes and jostles its way up the dirt road to the McMansion. After half an hour of getting lost on Hyalite Canyon Road because I mistook the old ranch's entryway for a dead end, I'm praying to all the gods that this is the right place. I can feel every single rock and pebble that my busted shock absorbers fail to, well, absorb. You'd think that a place looking for a live-in housekeeper could afford to, I don't know, pave their driveway. If I get the job, I'm going to have to find a smoother back road that won't shake my car apart. I clutch the wheel, my shoulders tight, and my head leaning forward. Hold on, baby. You can do it. But after a mile, I don't see the house. Only the bright green landscape just south of Bozeman, Montana, I've grown accustomed to. Right now, I'm 75% sure that I'm still lost. Even if I know I took the right turn, this pothole-marked road feels more like an entrance to a haunted house than anything else. I groan as the path slopes up and my motor makes the same sound I make when I'm coughing up phlegm. I shift gears and my car bucks. Come on, Selena, my darling, I beg. I turn off the CD player. Yes, my car still has a CD player. And hit the gas, leaning forward as if I can push this thing up the hill with my sheer willpower. Then I'm up at the top of the hill. Bright green trees in the distance make the view practically a postcard. It rained a lot this spring, and out here, there's a wildness to the surrounding lawn, overgrown in a way that looks almost forgotten. Okay, I say, this time to the porg hanging from my rearview mirror. Do you think I have a chance at the job, Leia? The stuffed animal my ex-boyfriend won for me at a movie theater does not respond, which I'm sure is good, considering my state of being. Leia Porgana, as I instantly named her, is a gift I've kept as a token of home. Sure, that same ex sat through the movie screening, clutching his soda angrily because I just told him I was leaving New York to go back to art school all the way across the country. The movie is a blur. I don't know why I didn't wait until after it was over. I just had this tingly sensation the second he captured the porg with the metal claw. He handed it to me, and he was going to tell me he loved me. I felt it in my bones. He said, Lena, I'll... That unfinished L haunted me across my entire trip here. He might have been ready to say, I love spending time with you, or I like crowded theaters with arcades for public declarations of romance. It wasn't right on my part to do that. But it was better to rip off the Band-Aid and break up in person instead of over the phone. Still, this tiny stuffed porg kept me company in that theater while my ex was spilling Coca-Cola on his lap, neither of us paying attention to the exploding cars and chase scenes on the big screen. I know I made the right decision to leave. At least, I thought I did. I've been in Bozeman for 6 months, and it's scary how little I miss from my life back home. I can count those things on one hand, and they go as follows. My little sister, Ariana. Pizza. Real New York Italian pizza. Hearing 7 different languages at any given time on the way to work. Having a 24-hour pharmacy open for when I get a serious cookie craving and also realize I ran out of tampons at 2 in the morning. And the Colombian restaurant at the corner of my block. So, family, food, and convenience? Before I can analyze my levels and limits of human connection and attachment, I breathe a sigh of relief when the McMansion finally comes into view. Having spent all of my 26 years of life in Queens, New York, and only Queens, New York, I don't know the difference between a working ranch or a ranch mansion or what the locals like to call darned Californian tax evaders. This is definitely not the rustic wooden house I'm used to seeing atop Green Hills. It's modern, in a way that looks alien to this landscape. All clean metal lines and glass walls on the entire second floor. It has the sleek exterior of a possible serial killer's lair. Gray and white and devoid of color. I pull up on the unfinished gravel lane near the front door. What might have been spiral topiary trees line the perimeter of the house, but they've outgrown their shape, and weeds sprout all over the grounds. To my right is a huge lawn, equipped with a metal fire pit, and beyond that, a thicket of woods that goes on for miles, or acres. I honestly don't know the conversion. The point is, there's more property here than the square of backyard I grew up with. Practically a million times more. That's the thing I love about Montana. I can feel the outdoors here even when I'm in someone's backyard. I put my car in park and grab the wheel to steady my nerves. I can do this. Yesterday, I answered a Craigslist post for a job. For hours, I grappled with whether or not to call. The job was, after all, for a live-in housekeeper. My mom was a maid for a service on the Upper East Side, and my aunt was a hotel maid. it was good, constant work. For years, they toiled hard and put food on the table. But when my mom died, I knew that I didn't want to work myself to death. I didn't want to let some rich assholes bleed me dry. My mother was Mexican, and my dad Puerto Rican, and I'm as New York as you get. But that also means, as a 26-year-old Latina college dropout, cleaning houses is about where my college advisors thought I'd end up. It's honest work, and yet, I still turned my nose up at the posting. Because when people who look like you are only seen in one dimension, one role, one type of job, you start to forget that you're more than a punchline. That maybe you have your own dreams and aspirations. I should blame my stepmother for forcing me into a financial deficit. But I don't have time to dwell on that, thankfully, as a short, plump woman in a red plaid shirt walks out of the house. She gives me a concerned look as she makes a beeline for me. Heya, I'm Scarlett. Her voice is bright and friendly. Up close, I can see the fine age lines around light brown eyes and the smatter of burnt red freckles over her nose. She scratches at the spot under her wedding ring with short, sparkly nails. Glad you found the place. You must be Magdalena Martell. I inwardly cringe at the pronunciation of my full name. Only my dad used to call me Magdalena. Ariana calls me by my whole government name, Magdalena Luz Martel San Sebastian. But it never sounded right during roll call periods where old teachers said my name like they were coughing up fur balls. Everyone calls me Lena, I say, and smile as I shake her hand. Thanks for coming at such short notice. I really need this job because my stepmother ruined my credit. Is probably not the correct response, so I pivot. Your home is lovely. She barks out a rough laugh. Oh, honey, this piece of modern manure, pardon my French, isn't mine. The house belongs to a friend. It's a long story. But the short of it is he needs someone to keep the place clean, prepare meals, do the laundry, the works. Is he like a millionaire recluse? I ask, then instantly regret it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean... Scarlett's too busy laughing and cuts off my apology with a wave of her hands. You're absolutely right he is. He's a pain in the ass, but he's been through a lot. And he means well. At least he might mean well if I could get him to leave the property once in a while. But that's neither here nor there. Scarlett doesn't elaborate, and I know enough to not ask. She walks back to the house and I follow behind, leaving my car unlocked. Ariana was shocked when I told her people here don't lock their cars or home doors. The foyer is pretty clean. I'm not exactly sure what kind of mess she might mean until we enter the living room. First, there's the beautiful parts of it. The high ceilings and exposed beams of pale wood. The place feels like a dome. Floor-to-ceiling windows give a startling view of the surrounding area, including the hill I crested with nothing but cheap gas and fairy dust. You know, I feel like maybe it's better I don't get this job. Because the idea of having to repeat this drive might shatter my car into hundreds of pieces. I ignore my self-sabotaging thoughts and turn to a fireplace big enough to fit three people inside. I mean, if this was the witch from Hansel and Gretel, and you were into that sort of thing. The walls are still unfinished, but there is nothing I love more than a blank canvas. A very empty bookcase flanks the entire main wall. A wall? For books? Then there's the stuff that's not so beautiful. Dozens and dozens of boxes in various stages of unpacked. Broken bits of wood from what could have been a coffee table. When I bump into one of the boxes labeled fragile, the unmistakable sound of broken glass rattles. I can't tell if he's moving out or just moving in, I say. only half joking. Despite the layer of dust on the fireplace mantle and the general disarray, I can see the promise of the space. It's a little more modern than I like, but I'm about 50 years away from being able to own my own house at the rate that I'm going, so what does it matter? The place was finished 8 months ago, Scarlett says. The Donatello Ranch was all but falling apart, so Pat, as the oldest living son, made the tough call and built something over nothing. For the first time since our introduction, she isn't cracking her warm smile or boisterous laugh, and I take that as a sign that there's more to this story. Let me give you the tour, she says, and loops her arm through mine. The gesture takes me by surprise. It's friendly, warm, and damn, it's been so long since I've had human contact like this that part of me wants to give her a hug. Growing up, I've always been used to physical contact. When I'd sit on the couch and do my homework, my mom used to brush my hair or plait it in two braids. When we walked in the mall, my mom and aunt and myself would walk hand in hand. Before I went to bed, I kissed Ariana on the top of her head, even though all she'd say was, "You'll see me in the morning. Ugh." But what if I didn't? What if something happened? I wanted to make sure she knew that I loved her. Here, on my own for the first time in my life, I've forgotten how much I miss that. I clear my throat and let Scarlett lead me out of the living room and down a wide hallway. My skin is chilled at how cold it is in here. The black wood panels are so sleek, it almost looks like oil. I wish I'd taken off my boots, because I'm tracking dirt and gravel on the gray marble floors. Scarlett shows me four empty bedrooms like this, two of them with bathrooms. Bed frames and side tables are still in their boxes waiting to get built. Light fixtures tucked in corners have collected dust. This is so much space for one person, and we haven't even been upstairs yet, I say. I know what you're thinking. Scarlett steps over a packing tube in the bedroom at the farthest end of the house. It might belong to an expensive art print or a rug, and I'm curious enough that I want to find out. And no, he didn't get left at the altar. That's not what I was thinking at all, but I guess it's good to know about the person I'll be cleaning for. The ad said I'd have to live here? The ad didn't mention anything about a man living alone near the woods, but then again, it's Montana. I'll show you where you'd stay around back, she says, returning down the way we came. It used to be a bunkhouse before the Donatello boys turned it into a place to work on their cars. Now it's the pool house, and you have the option of living there or at my place. I live just 2 miles through the woods between our properties. Now, this is the kitchen. I nearly gasp. I'm not about to win an episode of Chopped, but I love to cook. The oven is huge, with thick iron grills and more buttons than I know to push. There's a red stand mixer, a microwave that looks more high-tech than the burnt spaghetti-covered mess of the house I live in now. I wonder if this is what Ina Garten's heaven looks like, I say. She'd probably get halfway to heaven if she saw the lonely box of Old Bay in the pantry, she says with a wink. The microwave also heats up frozen dinners in 30 seconds flat. I make a face. Frozen dinners when you have all of this? Scarlett shrugs dramatically. Some men seem to be able to survive on it. Not my dad, I say jokingly, but the swell of emotion that comes at the memory is both wonderful and terrible. It's been years since he passed, and I still feel his absence. Talking about him makes it better, like a calming balm on a burn. Are there more rooms? Downstairs is the home gym. Scarlett's light brown eyes flick up to the ceiling. Upstairs is a little more lived in. Follow me, We get to the stairs that run up and down the center of the house. The moment we get to the top floor, there's a slam of a door, and something like a bear growling. Scarlet puts on a tight smile. Don't mind the little lord of the house. I clear my throat and pace around the empty living room, from one of the glass walls to the other. When I was applying to schools, I remembered a brochure of a small art department at Bozeman University. The picture showed scenery like this, trees and green, and the outline of mountains in the background. This sight still steals my breath. The sun is low in the sky, behind clouds that are big and fluffy enough to want to take a bite out of. Ain't it something? Scarlet asks beside me. It really is. So, that's the house, Scarlet says. She turns around and points to a dark hall with missing ceiling light bulbs. You wouldn't have to do anything up here, just the main level and kitchen. Now, tell me about yourself. I practiced this speech in my dinky shared house off campus filled with 10 people just to keep the rent at under $300 a month. It is similar to every introduction I've uttered at the first day of my classes in January. Teachers looked me up and down and plastered a surprised smile on their faces before asking, Magdalena, tell us about yourself. I give Scarlet the same spiel I've given everyone, including the TSA guy at JFK. Well, I'm 26. I'm enrolled at the university. Art major. I'm originally from New York City. I pause for the usual and inevitable arch of her brow and, wow, New York City? You're a long way from home. Yep. I have one little sister. She's almost 15 and a handful and a half, but she lives with my stepmom. I was working up at Higgins Cafe, but gosh, sorry to hear about it closing down. Things get quiet during the summer, but never quite like this. Have you ever worked in housekeeping? I shake my head. I'm a fast learner. I got my first job when I was 15, bagging groceries. Then a year later, I was a cashier at a clothing chain. I got promoted to manager by the time I was 18. My mother and my aunt worked in housekeeping all my life. I know it's not the same, but this is where I get to the part where I start rambling about responsibility and how I've been entrusted at so many things. As I take out the resume letter from the inside of my jacket pocket, what I don't say is that I have to pay for school by the end of the summer, or else I can't return in the fall. I don't tell her that the loan I had was canceled because my stepmother has been stealing my identity for the past 6 months. There's $10,000 of unpaid credit cards with my name on them. And while I could get her arrested, I wouldn't be able to do that to my little sister's mother. Who would give me guardianship over Ariana when I'm still paying off my dad's hospital bills? I couldn't let my little sister go to a stranger's home knowing I put her mom in jail. My chest feels hot with humiliation, with fear and panic at the uncertainty of my future. Scarlet has no idea of the anxious thoughts racing through my mind. Her eyes scan my resume, nodding while she bites her lower lip. I'm seconds from throwing myself at her feet, but Scarlet puts her hand up. She isn't shooing me out the door. She rests a hand on my shoulder. Look, hun, I can tell you're a hard worker. You're also overqualified for this. I brace myself for the, but you're not right for the job. Part of me has never been right for something. The first time I was in college, my first art teacher told me I wasn't quite right for the field, and then didn't elaborate. The time I applied for regional director after being the manager with the highest grossing store in the tri-state area, I was told I wasn't right for the job. But tell me about you. Me? Yeah. You're going to be here all summer and I'll be seeing a lot of you. Besides, Pat's not exactly a kitten. More like a grumpy old lion. Have you worked with kids at all? I laugh. If my sister Ariana counts. When she was 7, my dad got sick. My stepmom, she really didn't know how to deal with it. So I dropped out of school to take care of her full time. Most of the time, I had no idea what I was doing. But I learned, and she's a good kid. Does, Pat have children? Scarlett looks panicked at the thought. No, but it's how I measure the required level of patience. I think you'd be perfect for this job, Lena. Really? It's not because you feel sorry for me, is it? I ask. Shut up, stupid, and take the job. She laughs that infectious laugh of hers. What I need is someone with life experience. Anyone can sweep and mop. You've never lived with 9 college kids, I mumble. 9? Her eyes go even bigger. Oh, honey, no. Now, this is the setup. If you're comfortable, you can live on the grounds, but if not, I have a bunkhouse too. We had it converted for an Airbnb. You'd have your own space there as well. You'd just be driving over for meals. I glance around the empty space, and that chill returns. Who needs the air conditioner blasting like this when the day is perfect outside? I suppose it wouldn't matter if I have my own mini house to keep myself company. I don't think my car could take going up that hill 3 times a day, I chuckle. This almost seems too good to be true. Well, she tilts her head to the side, like she's weighing the next thing she's going to tell me. Remember when you asked if the owner is an eccentric millionaire? Is he like Jay Gatsby? Sort of. Only without the parties, and we're in the middle of nowhere, Montana, instead of New York. Okay. Point is, there are some house rules. You have the run of the place. Except for times that will be listed. After today, the second floor is off limits. You can clean this living area, but as there's nothing but wooden floorboards to sweep, you'd just be in and out. Under no circumstance are you to enter the room at the end of the upstairs hall. That's Pat's space. Okay, I say. Like this is the most reasonable thing I've ever heard. I desperately want to ask why everything is off-limits. I've watched enough telenovelas to have a myriad of scenarios in my head. Everything from secret werewolf to rare disease that won't let him be around people or the outdoors. You will have to sign a non-disclosure. I narrow my eyes at her. As long as he's not in there because he's a serial killer, I'm fine. Definitely not a serial killer. I'll be the one cutting your checks, and we like our privacy around here. Pat would sure appreciate it, too. I'm sure someone who built a house they never finished decorating appreciates privacy. Though I can feel there's a part of the story I'm not being told. I decide it isn't my business, as long as I get the work done and keep to the pool house. When I just keep nodding, Scarlett follows up with, "Can you cook?" "Yes," I say. "But I'm going to need some salt, and I always thought Old Bay was a kind of deodorant." She laughs. "I'll make sure you have the grocery stipend in cash." "Wait, I got the job?" "Of course you got the job." Scarlett is already walking ahead of me back downstairs. I start to follow when I see a shadow move at the end of the hall. The door I'm not supposed to enter closes quickly. He's right behind that door. I almost wonder if he's going to come out and meet me. I know that I'd want to see the person who's going to be living in my house for the next 3 months. Rich people are so weird. Scarlett shows me the area around back, complete with a babbling brook, a hot tub, and a long crystal blue pool. She tells me she's a romance writer. And I tell her I've never read any before. She's practically brimming with book suggestions for me. And for the first time in so long, I feel at ease. This job pays more than I've ever made an hour in my whole life. I don't know.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?